Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. It's 7 o'clock. It is Friday morning. It's more or less a holiday show. But we are going to talk a lot of draft this morning here on the show. A lot of stuff to cover here this morning. Your Houston Texans are on the clock in the third round.
We are on the clock?
They're on the clock in the third round. Yeah, we're going to look at who could possibly be. I mean, I got a long list of guys here.
Well, so I've written up 340 players.
Yeah.
I'm finishing all the guys who are on the combine list. The combine list officially came out 2 days ago. And I know you're saying, I thought they canceled the combine. They did. The combine now means you have a chance to be virtually interviewed by teams. If there is, they're going to work with team physicians and things like that to work with your medical stuff, find out about medical reports, things like that, which, you know, what could possibly go wrong having a team potentially cover up a player's medical stuff to help him get drafted higher. But there's not going to be the workouts. The workouts are going to be at the pro days, the different pro day stuff. So, but I have gone through over 330 some odd players, and I guess 170 more to go. But I knew every one of the players that you mentioned previously. So
yeah.
We've got.
I'll tell you this, people. Lance is a wealth. Here's the deal: is I'll mention players. There's lists out of who the Texans are going to take, and I'll throw it at them, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, oh no, he won't be around." Or yeah, it's a wealth of information. I got all of this information, and I don't have to watch one guy. It's awesome.
I do.
It's awesome. So we've got all this information, and we can actually, there are a bunch of guys that we can go through, and we will. So we're going to do that in just a bit. There's nice pieces here on who the Texans just might take. One of the big stories yesterday, and I don't want to really start with Les Miles here.
Oh,
but that was a little bit.
That was out of the blue.
That was really like, out of the blue.
What? Are they sure this is Les Miles and not, you know, some young?
Yeah,
coach
is. I mean, I could see this out of Lane Kiffin. I don't want to accuse anybody, but I could see this out of Lane.
Well, there's
Kiffin.
Certain coaches you just think, okay,
yeah,
yeah.
Well, I get this.
Yeah.
When Larry Eustachy was out, you know, partying at a frat after a game, and he sent his team home on the plane, he said, "Nah, I'm going to hang out here." And I get it.
One of the great stories. I had completely forgot about that. It happened so long ago, but
for those of you who don't know, he was
basketball
Iowa
coach at
State,
Iowa State. He was at Iowa.
And
State.
He was at Iowa State. I think they played somewhere in Mississippi. And he might have been playing Ole Miss or Mississippi State.
It's Ole Miss, completely understood.
Yeah, yeah, I can get that. I get that. But Les Miles, out of the blue, and we were sent for whatever reason. I don't know where Raheel found this, but thanks, Raheel. It was on Twitter.
Here's the breaking:
former LSU football coach Les Miles was barred from having one-on-one contact with female students after 2013 sexual harassment probe. Apparently, Les. In 2013, while he was married, according to an internal investigation, he was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion, kissing a student. So
I'm just going to ask you a quick question. Yeah. Would you mind if I maybe gave you a little bit of a kiss for good luck? Maybe it's a good luck kiss.
Well, it might have been.
No, I would rather you not. Do you want our team to lose?
No.
You want and this is at LSU, right?
Yeah, right.
not at Kansas, because all the kisses in the world isn't going to get you a W there. But
now, 2013, remembering back to that, wasn't that just after they went, they beat Alabama 9-6 and then lost to them by 20? Was that?
I think that was the year before that happened.
That was the 2011.
LSU 11. That was 11.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they get to the national championship 2003, 2007, 2011.
11, yes.
Right. Yeah, they get there every 4 years. It's a couple of years after. This is disturbing. But what's even more disturbing is his offense, where he pitches the ball and then runs.
Del,
up
why
the
did you go surrender, Cobra? Why'd you put your hands
because
on your head?
No. That was a joke of a conversation before the show.
But no,
I didn't believe he would transfer that.
It's real.
And not think that it'll get on the show.
No. I had that.
He accepted
I had
you,
that
though.
In my No. I had that in my arsenal long before Del said it. I mean, I've been talking about him pitching up and running up the middle forever.
That's true. Oh, you mean the turn backwards pitch and
he
quarterback
pitches
lead?
And then he runs up the middle.
Yeah.
And the
quarterback
running back
lead?
Runs, no, it's a pitch and
instead
the running
of a
back
handoff.
Runs up the middle.
Yeah, instead of
yeah,
a handoff.
Instead of a handoff. I've had issues with that forever.
No, I understand, but is it actually more disturbing than what he's...
To me...
Well, it didn't happen. Well, because you didn't see that.
I feel like you're going to want to redo on this one.
Yeah, because if you saw Les being creepy, you probably find it more disturbing.
Oh yeah, that Les is creepy.
What do you think he did to have
with
his
undergrads?
Let me ask you this question: do you think it took for Les, the head coach of LSU, to be limited with contact with
the girls?
Something must have happened, or some things must have happened for them to say, we can't do this anymore.
Well,
how easy would it have been to get rid of them when you wanted to, and they were going to, and then all the fans and all that stuff.
Yeah, but that's all you had to do was release this internal investigation. That's all you had to do, and everybody would have been going, oh, get rid of him. What the hell, Les? I mean, that Les was that Les. Les was, I mean,
creepy's creepy.
Let's face it. He had, he had 11 win seasons. He averaged 10 a year as the head coach at LSU. They were very successful. Now, we all knew that they were limited. And this is not really at all to me. I wasn't like taken aback by this. Actually, I was like, I could see it. I really can see it. He's kind of a different dude. Now I wonder. Because we haven't heard anything from Kansas. Have you guys heard? We haven't heard a peep from Kansas about this. This is a good out for Kansas now. This is a pretty damn good out for Kansas. Because they can get out of... Because we've seen... Oh, look at... We got to get Les Miles. Get Les Miles in here. And everything's going to be just fine with Kansas football. They suck. They are terrible. That is a terrible... I don't know where Les can go because of how he just strangles you offensively everywhere he goes. He was a guard in college, and he's got a guard's mentality as a head coach. He really does. And he's not – I know guys that have been in meetings with him.
He and Jimbo just couldn't.
They say he's in a meeting for 6 hours. You go to a meeting, and it's 6 hours with the coaching staff. And you leave there and go, what did we do?
Let me tell you something coaches hate more than anything, meetings.
Stupid meetings
that are wasting
time. Wasting your
time. And Jimbo eventually had to just like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Les keeps trying to get his hands in my offense. I can't do
No.
So that's one of the reasons Jimbo bolted.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll say that publicly, but I mean, it's true. Plus, he had got a great opportunity, but Jimbo had to get out of there like, oh, my.
No. I knew their wide receivers coach, and the night before the game, they had to be back at the facility. They were there all day. They get a couple hours off on Friday. They had to be back at midnight. And he's like, "What? I gotta go back there tonight and stay, and then we'll get up in the morning." It was like, "Oh my gosh, what the hell are we doing? Why are we doing?" He said, And then in the coaches' meetings, because I know a few coaches that were in the room, every time he opened his mouth, Saban would just go, oh my God. He would just hate.
Wait, he was on the staff with Saban?
No. In SEC coaches.
Oh, okay.
SEC coaches meetings.
Yeah.
Everybody. It was just.
Anybody ever think about if maybe we just decided to have our own football league? Maybe just do our own league. Has anyone thought about our own league where we can use a different kind of football? Maybe a different shape or. I know it sounds like Frank Caliendo's George Bush imitation. Yeah. But it got scrubbed from the internet. We can't find it. But when he talked about oil spills,
yes,
it is to this day one of the most insane conversations I've ever seen at a coaching press conference.
Well, we had him on every week, and it was like,
hey, John, how we doing?
Yeah. Tell Houston I said hello.
And then Adele is like, I didn't exist. He would never, I'd ask questions. John, how we doing?
Well, I knew.
Okay, bye, John.
I knew him a little bit. But it was so, I mean.
Okay, John, we'll see you.
This was not surprising at all yesterday. Not at all.
We play Les's greatest hits.
Okay, John, we'll see you.
Do you have anything left?
They purge everything. He said, we'll see you. Les, you're the only one on the phone. Why are you saying?
No, tell Houston I said hello.
But he also said,
all right, John, we'll see you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
Who's
we?
No. He was, I mean. All right, coach. Thanks. Appreciate it. You want to run up the middle this week? Okay. All right, coach.
Les
Miles.
You
got a new game plan? When he came out in that Alabama National Championship game and did the same damn thing that he did in the 9-6 win, Alabama just, they didn't get past midfield till the fourth quarter. They didn't get past midfield.
There it is. I found the best of Les Miles plays and press conferences. It's 11 minutes long.
Oh, my gosh. No. You can play some coming back. 710 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Very little. We'll talk some draft today. And some interesting stuff. Lance McCullers made his debut. The Astros kicked some ass yesterday against the Cardinals.
You ready to pay
Angel
him now?
Angel Hernandez was behind the plate. Dude.
Did you hear the announcers the other day?
Yeah.
When Angel threw, he called a strike on a ball that was way below the knees and goes, and Angel is in mid-season form. Like, he didn't even skip a beat. Hernandez.
Oh, my God. Martinez, the Cardinals pitcher yesterday, he was behind the mound. He was throwing his, he was like beside himself with Angel.
I've never seen one official / umpire / ref who has ever been so universally, not only despised, but also it's universally known that they're not competent.
Yeah,
and yet they still keep jobs.
No, the worst ever in any sport. Worst ever.
I can't think of anyone else in any other job.
No. 7-Eleven, ESPN, 97.5, 713-780-3776.
ESPN, 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 716 ESPN 97.5. You're more than welcome to get in. It's a Friday. It's basically a holiday show. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I had a real issue. Jeremy Hill, he was, remember Jeremy Hill was charged with, was it oral sexual battery? I don't know. And that not only him, yes. Jalen Mills punched a girl accused Jalen Mills of punching a girl in the face. Jordan Jefferson kicked a Marine in the head. I was done with LSU at that point. I really was. I was done with the way, I mean, Jordan Jefferson comes back on the field and everybody's cheering. Because they had the white guy. Who was the white guy that they were playing with when Jordan Jefferson was out with a suspension?
Was it Mock?
It was one of the no. Mock won a championship.
Matt Flynn.
It was no, not Matt Flynn. Matt Mock and Matt Flynn both won championships. It was some other white Craig Knoll. No,
yeah,
no. Oh, Craig Knoll was a safety. No, Knoll was a safety. Whatever the case may be. When Jordan Jefferson comes running back on the field.
He was jailed for the third time over the last 14 months.
I don't know what's going on with Jordan Jefferson, but I didn't realize he was jailed three times in 2012. Jordan Jefferson was,
and they just kept putting these guys, and with no repercussions for their actions, I was just done with LSU football for a while. And then Les
what left year it. Did that happen? 2011, right?
Yeah, it was.
I'm gonna look up it the 11 it was LSU bad. Tigers.
Anyway, so yeah, that you know the rampant. The disregard for the fellow students. And I didn't know it was coming from the head coach as well.
Jarrett Lee and Zach Mettenberger were the two who also got. But Jarrett Lee's the guy you're
Jarrett
talking
Lee.
About.
Jarrett Lee was the guy I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, 14 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That was a career high for LSU. Yeah. Joe Burrow broke that record for most passing touchdowns in LSU history. 14.
At 14.
Because at the time, that's the record.
That probably was the record at that time. No, you had Tommy Hodson, baby. Tommy Hodson back in the day.
18.
Yeah. Wendy went out with him once. Anyway, I don't like Tommy Hodson at all. I'm totally he and the first
Joey Votto.
Joey Votto,
who actually did not go out with Wendy.
No, he didn't go out with Votto, but in my dreams he did.
What? Why Hodson? Why doesn't he? Why does he?
Because he dated,
Wendy went out with him.
He went out on with his wife.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back at LSU, yeah. When they were at LSU,
fullback. What was he?
And Ricky Blanton. Remember Ricky Blanton?
Yeah, basketball player.
Ricky Hodson was the quarterback.
What Hodson was.
Not Ricky Hodson. No, Tommy Hodson.
Well, you think Wendy was go out with a fullback?
No.
That's what he said.
That's true. That's a good point.
No.
But Wendy went out with, and that was, well, he was a starter. Blanton was a starter on that. Oh, he Chris was Jackson.
He did the running down the court. That's one of the most famous. Well, that is the only famous time in LSU basketball that when they weren't, you know, buying players.
Yeah. Well,
I don't want to say that because Dale bought.
Yeah, let's be clear.
Yeah. Shaq. Okay, Chris Jackson. Mm-hmm. Ricky Blanton ran down the court.
But Ricky Blanton was with the Chris
the wheel
Jackson.
Above his...
Yeah, he's with the Chris Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we used to they watch him to the at final Tulane. Four. We were watching, we're like, well, Chris Jackson was the more fun. When they got Stanley Robertson, Shaquille O'Neal, it was like, and he wasn't take, and he started taking his Tourette's medicine. Like, this is not a joke. Chris Jackson, when he was Chris Jackson and didn't take Tourette's medicine during games because he said it made him sluggish. One of the most exciting people I've ever seen play. Like, he had a game that his pull-up J from three was ridiculous.
Oh, my
God. It
was
the fastest thing I've ever seen. And he was so much – he was putting 40 and 50 on people. Like, it was so much fun to watch. And a guy that was in my circle, Stan Funches, who we played pickup together. He's from South Mississippi. He used to have to guard. He used to have to guard him. And he's like, dude. He would look up at the clock, and the Tourette's would kick in, and he just like you could see him start making noises and faces, and you're like, "Oh my god!" You're like, you knew he was about to go off on you.
So the first thing that I ever covered when I got to Lafayette, the first I got there in the spring, and the first they sent me to Baton Rouge to cover. Well, I was the sports director, and they said, "Here's what's going on. Go to Baton Rouge." It was Chris Jackson and Kyle Macy playing the SEC championship. It was coming up on this week, or you know, for the SEC championship. It was in Baton Rouge, and I was like, "Holy!" Because I came from with Northern Arizona. I covered Northern Arizona, and up in Northern Arizona, and in Flagstaff, and then I was like, "Oh my God, this is big time." Holy crap, Kyle Macy filling it up for that Kentucky team. I was like, this is so cool. It was the first thing that I ever covered. And Chris Jackson was one of the first guys that I ever covered as well. And yeah, he was spectacular. Anyway, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776.
Somebody from LSU just sent me, as a matter of fact, their athletic department, they sent me this PFF draft. Does he work for Pro Football Focus now?
Who?
Chris Sims?
Well, he works for NBC. Is that a Pro Football?
Well, so
did they buy them?
So Chris Collinsworth has, I think.
He got a piece of it. He's probably hired.
Anyway, Chris Sims with high praise for his quarterback 4 in the 2021 draft. As a pure, consistent thrower, Kellen Mond is better than Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you want to talk about try hard?
No. It's just click. Click.
Zach Wilson's first. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's okay to have different opinions, but this is trying too hard to stand out.
Yeah.
He's, and that's a quarterback.
Yeah. He's really going the route of, I mean, you're just saying stuff just so you can, I mean, just so people on NBC Sports or other, this is so Skip Bayless, it's unbelievable. You just have to have attention. That's all you're looking for is attention.
Yeah.
By saying stuff like this. We've seen Kellen Mond for 4 years here. Kellen Mond's been here 4 or 6 years. How long has he been here?
Kellen Mond was there, I think, 8 years.
8 years? Yeah.
Yeah, he got quadruple red
shirts.
He's
the major,
Kellen Mond was a 4-year starter who got better. I think he got better. He hadn't from his early time, and then this year he finally clicked for him. I think this is as good as it gets for him, though. I think this is who he is. He throws a really pretty ball.
He really does.
Very tight spiral.
Really does.
But, I mean, to say he's, as a pure passer, he's better than...
Now, to think that he can't make,
way,
it,
he went
can
to
make
IMG,
it, he can make
no,
it.
No, I've got a grade on him of like... I've got like a 6.10, I think, which is low-end starter to good backup. Or I may have a 5.9, which is backup. But I actually think he could be a solid backup.
Yeah.
I do. I think he could be a solid backup. I think that's, you know, he may get in a game some and start some. I think he worked his way up. I've got him as my number six quarterback behind. I've got him actually, I may have him behind Trask.
I mean, where was Dak Prescott? Where was Russell Wilson was a third rounder?
Kellen Mond is an NFL starter, though.
I couldn't see Dak either.
No, but Dak had tremendous, Dak's numbers and production were really, really good. And Kellen's has been solid. That's it. It's not outlandishly
great. He can make all the throws now.
He can.
Yep.
But not all the time.
No, he misses. He misses. And that's,
he misses.
Now, if he gets.
He has games that are really bad.
Yeah.
You know,
if he gets more accurate,
the Florida game was awesome. But he had a game against I think it was against LSU this year. And it was like.
No, it was bad. It was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah, but he misses a lot of guys
and
that
LSU's are, defense was not a that's not really a defense you should have been bad against. Ask Mississippi State.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that team sucked.
Well, that was the beginning of the season, though. Yeah. I mean, that was just horrible. John wants to get in here, talk a little LSU hoops. What up, John?
Yeah, I knew some guys that played on UNLV back in the day. They played here at San Jack, Amos Curry and David Butler. And me and some friends, when they went to UNLV, they played LSU the year they won the championship over Duke. And we went over to Baton Rouge and watched them play. And it was Stanley Roberts was on there. I think Shaq was a freshman. Chris Jackson was on there. And Chris Jackson, I still got the box score sheet from after the game. But he scored like crazy amount of three-pointers. Him and Anderson Hunt were just going back and forth, ripping threes. And I think Chris Jackson ended up with a few more than Anderson Hunt. The game, it's a college game, okay? The score ended up 107-105.
Without overtime, in regulation.
Yes. Oh, I forgot if it was overtime.
You said
the
UNLV game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching
that
one.
UNLV, yeah.
No, it was overtime. I thought it was one overtime.
Was it?
I think it was one overtime.
But, it was awesome watching that game, too, by the way.
This is without Ogman. Stacey Ogman had to sit out a game and... Man, I got to meet Tark and Larry Johnson and his brother. Dude, it was a good experience. But man, the shooting from Chris Jackson that you mentioned, him and Anderson Hunt were just unbelievable hitting threes.
Yeah, no, those are some great names. Boy, that was a great time. That was a great time for college basketball.
When college basketball,
that's about the heyday.
When you had people staying 3 years,
yeah,
I mean, some four, it built up the league. It built up college basketball. That's why Big Monday was a huge deal. I mean, you're watching all the Big Ten games. You'd stay up to watch. I remember New Mexico State had some good players, and they were the only team that could challenge UNLV. Watching Steve Nash at UC Santa Barbara. I think it was Santa Barbara. Or was it Santa Clara?
How good was
that? I mean, I'm not even talking about the games between, like, you'd see Iowa versus Illinois. You'd see... You know, Georgetown versus Villanova.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
College basketball was awesome. Oh. And unfortunately, one of the things that happens was it's nationally not that relevant anymore from a national standpoint because you lost the ability to lock in with players across conferences because everyone leaves so soon. Del, I don't know, did you bring it up on the show with John yesterday about the basketball league?
No, I didn't talk about it.
When we come back, don't say anything. Dell had some information yesterday that could be, it could be a huge game changer, and it also lends itself to more questions about if schooling is even going to matter at all for a lot of kids who are, you know, age 16 through 18. So
schooling doesn't matter for any kids now.
No, I'm not saying college
since the pandemic.
Well, I mean, in general, getting your education.
727 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. You want to hang? Come on.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so, guys, let's do a little...
Well, hold on. Dell, I got to pay off the tees.
Oh, yeah. Pay off the tees,
Dell. Dell came to me about something yesterday, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, yesterday, as... we were wrapping up from 10 to 11. I just saw something come across the bottom line on ESPN. It's called Overtime Elite. Now, Overtime is a YouTube channel where they create content, and a lot of it is centered around high school age basketball players. And it's not just the games they play that get into their lives. So a lot of these kids become celebrities on the internet and on YouTube. So Lance's kids probably have watched quite a bit and know these names. Like a kid named Mikey Williams is a really good basketball player. I think he's like maybe 15, 16. But he's been a star for years now because of his talent and the way he's been kind of brought to the forefront because of this YouTube channel. Well, Overtime will become Overtime Elite. That's going to be the name of their basketball league. And what they will do is they're going to be paying, they're going to target the top-ranked players from ages 16 to 18 and give them the opportunity, if they're willing to forego the rest of their high school eligibility and future college eligibility, and pay them to play in the league.
Yeah.
Now, they want it to be about 30 players for the league, and then what they'll do is not only will they play intra-league games, they'll also play top high school teams around the country and maybe in Europe as well. So it's going to be a traveling team or league of 30 players or so, and they're going to pay them maybe up to $100K if they're willing to forego high school and college basketball.
I mean, basically, you are just kicking them out of school. I mean, not kicking them out of school. You're letting them leave school early. I don't think that's a great idea.
No, I don't think it's a great idea. I think if it was – and I saw a question on the on Twitter the other day that said, would you watch kids that aren't eligible yet to play NBA AAU. Basketball? Would you watch them?
Yeah, AAU is what you're talking about.
Well, it's, yeah.
Elite AAU.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is before college. It's AAU.
Right. Oh, but, well, you're talking about college-age kids, too, though, and AAU is usually done by then.
Well, what do you mean? But in this is just high school, right, Dale?
Yeah, 16 to 18 years old, but also they'll be pulling kids from Europe. If there's a Luka who would rather come play in the U.S., they'll do that, and they'll pay a European kid to come over here, and every kid will get $100K for
right,
a season.
Now, the NBA is going to go back to high school after high school, not 1 year out of high school, right?
That's been the thought. Like, they thought the 2021 draft would be that. Now it might be the 2022 draft, but the belief is that at some point the NBA will switch back to right out of high school,
right,
or
high
18,
school.
Whatever the
so
age
that,
is.
So that would be, you know, we've got the kids that are now going, they're not going to college, they're going right to the G League.
Yeah.
And this probably you would be able to do. I wouldn't watch it. I mean, but here's the deal is, it's a farce in a lot of cases. A lot of kids aren't going to school anyway.
And they have a built-in base. They have a YouTube channel of over 2 million subscribers, so they're a very popular YouTube channel. I imagine they'll look for a TV deal, or maybe they become a thing where they're streaming on the internet, which because that's what they've
what
done.
It would be.
And
it's for the next generation. I mean, this actually will probably work because they do have a streaming audience. The numbers will always be there. People will see it.
What about when you have to subscribe to it to pay off these $100,000 contracts? Do you think it's still viable?
I don't think all the contracts will be $100,000, and then B.
No, they said if you're in the league, every kid's getting paid $100K for a season. 30 players.
That's the idea.
Yes, right? Currently.
We'll see if they could do it. They'd have to get sponsorships to do it.
Well, sure. I mean, there'd be sponsorships.
Yeah, now they might try to do. Now, if they try to do a pay-per-view model,
they did $5 a month.
I don't think that'll work.
I don't think it'll work either.
I don't think it'll work.
So some of the things they're offering to the players is to entice them, besides the $100K guaranteed for the season, they'll get into the likeness stuff. So not only can you benefit from the salary, you'll get the benefit from your name and likeness, which you cannot do currently, although that's switching up in college. That'll be something that happens soon. In lieu of traditional high school curriculum, they'll be offered things like financial literacy, media training, and social justice advocacy if you're interested in that. So we've seen LaMelo Ball do this already, not here, but he went over and did it until he was ready to play, and it didn't affect him. RJ Hampton did the same thing. So it's happening in smaller pockets, what individual players. Now an American company wants to make it a thing for an entire league.
Well, talk about, see, I think the moral dilemma here is taking kids out of school so that you can make money off of them. I mean, you want to talk about.
But they're making money, too.
They're making money. They are making money, too, but they're also not getting the education that
it's really going
to help them throughout life.
It's really bad because we know realistically there's a lot who work hard, but there are some that really do.
Yeah.
Who will still want the.
They're going to have to. You're almost, well, I don't think you're going to be forced to go into this thing.
You
but
can't.
It is the it will be the highest level of competition.
Yeah, but you can't possibly do. The schooling's not going to. You're basically not in school. I don't care what they say. Even if they say, no, we have tutors. Do you think when you're traveling to Europe, you're going to be sitting in your classroom and stuff like that? No. Is anyone going to be ineligible not to play who's getting $100,000? No. And if you're getting
it'll be a want-to thing. You won't be in school.
Yeah. So you're basically, I think it's a really bad message to send that, listen, the only thing that matters is money. To get your money as fast as you can, because in the short term, you might, but it could have. We've seen enough athletes to know that this ends. Okay, number one, it's a small percentage who really make it. Number two, when it ends, if you don't have skills for, we've seen this a lot with football and basketball and baseball players. If you don't have skills for the next level, it's hard.
That said. The LeBrons, the Kobe's, the Kevin Garnett's went right out of high school.
But these are all-time Hall of Famers. That's what I said. This is such a small percentage.
No, right.
I will say,
but we do see them being socially adept, as opposed to it's not like they're not dumb.
LeBron was with the same group. LeBron was just you're basically, and I'll tell you another unintended consequence is you continue to make the 16-year-olds the most important, your brand, your name, image, and likeness. I mean, there's a reason that people don't have any respect for authority because they are the authority.
This happens in Europe all the time, by the way.
You do know, though.
Yeah, but they have a different culture of a standard of.
Nope, well,
the older people are very influential in European culture.
For example, Messi got pulled out of Argentina as a very young age and went to Barcelona because they saw him as a talent. We're just going
to
cultivate you.
He had to do chemistry stuff.
Did he?
Probably.
No.
He had probably not.
There's a lot of academies where kids get pulled out, but they still are learning. Listen, but if you want to know the truth, relatively speaking, it's a new thing to actually finish high school. So, I mean, my dad, listen, when it used to be back in from the 50s, even the 60s on, you didn't finish high school because you had to go to work because your family needed you to work.
Manual labor, too.
Well, and whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you did for your family to make money, a lot of times they pulled you out of school. It is a relatively new cultural thing for people to actually finish high school.
Well,
no,
you say
it
relatively
absolutely
new,
is.
5 decades.
Yeah.
I mean,
compared to the rest of humanity.
But it's not. But that has nothing to do with where we are today.
No.
That's so irrelevant to where we are today. And you used to also have more kids, so more people could work on the farms.
Well,
and do that stuff too. Like if you had seven and you knew three were going to
die.
Well,
now you have.
You also had like.
Now you have seven because you just want to have. You just because you can't
you
control
have,
yourself.
No, you had 9, 10, 11, and it didn't matter. You knew three or four were going to die.
Right.
Child
right.
mortality, like, okay, they're going to get whooping cough. They'll get polio.
Well, right. But all
I mean,
I'm saying
that's
is
real.
It's
like
it's
I've gone
relatively,
back in ancestry and seen.
I got it. Relatively speaking, though. And oh, by the way, there are plenty of. Listen, in a lot of cases right now, high school is a farce for kids.
What was your dad's Instagram account?
Well, I don't. He apparently he. I think he was.
Don't say it. I know was, you want to slur it.
Yeah,
now you want to throw an Italian slur in there.
Yeah, maybe avoid it.
To. I know you were. You're not hard to predict.
I was reading up on things as far as Europe does things. You know, yeah. they had Messi undergo growth hormone treatment at 14.
What?
Yeah.
It didn't work.
It didn't take.
It didn't matter, apparently. Well,
who did that?
Barcelona did.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard of. He had to take growth hormones?
He's a little fella.
After completing his growth hormone treatment.
Yeah, but you also don't need a jockey running around out there. What you need.
He's still a jockey, and he's one of the greatest of all
time. But look at now. He's a rich jockey.
Yeah, so you undergo some growth hormone. So let's be. Oh, look, I get
so
it.
What
this
he
is kind of
to?
A.
5'5", 5'6",
whatever he is. So I know it's a shock to the system for the U.S. to do it, but in Europe, they're giving talented kids growth hormone treatments to make sure they
question.
Can play.
This is actually a serious question because I have thought about this. When people talk about us versus Denmark, us versus Sweden, us versus... Do you think the U.S. is like any of these other countries we talk about?
What do you mean?
We're nothing like any other countries. Our country is so different from everyone. We act like we can do the same thing that other countries do. We can't even wipe our own asses. This country's so completely out of whack. What are people talking about?
You think Spain is just this unified place that everything goes well? You think no countries have problems?
I think it's breaking down societally across the globe. I don't know why there's this act like we can just, oh, no, everything's
fine. Well, that's the problem with having freedom of speech. We need to limit that, okay? because now you hear everybody's voice. Well, that's the problem with the internet. You hear everybody. And everybody is different. So now it's like, what the hell? No one knows. There's no direction. Used to be when people told you what to think. Now, all of a sudden, it's a good thing. All right? Now we know. Now we're unified. Now we all watch Gilligan's Island. Everybody watched Gilligan's Island back in the day because that's all you could watch.
Well, you actually watched. Everyone had Gilligan's Island, but you also watched. Well, I did, but you probably did too. You watched Good Times.
Yeah.
You watch What's Happening. You watched, because Dwayne was my favorite character.
That's the way you find out about other cultures.
What's Happening. Good Times. The black shows were What's Happening, Good Times, and we're moving on up. The Jeffersons. Then you had, if you want, then you
Archie
had.
Archie Bunker?
Then you had, the bigot that people made fun of, mm-hmm. Archie Bunker. And then you had. You know, when the Nazis were just kind of a funny thing, apparently,
yeah,
with
Hogan's
Heroes. Like,
right.
You know, those crazy Nazis, but we're getting over on them.
I know nothing.
So,
I see nothing.
But you also had, and then you had all the stuff like the Falcon Crest in Dallas and for parents and grandparents
to
watch.
Yeah.
Super,
well, you had to learn
super whitey, tidy whitey shows.
What, yeah.
And he had Dukes of Hazzard, where Dell, you could have learned about. Like
learned about
culture,
what?
About the culture with the Dukes of Hazzard,
yeah. And
the General Lee and
yes.
stuff like that. Like, you could have learned a different culture watching
yes.
Dukes
yes.
of Hazzard.
That's right,
and that's where Daisy Dukes came from.
Yeah, what one day?
Oh, was that a problem?
You could
that
learn
Daisy
about,
Dukes came
one
from
day
that?
At a time, right? Valerie Bertinelli, you could learn about that.
Single mothers,
yes.
Oh no, that was with the super who came over.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of Alice.
No, yeah, Alice. You can learn about grits.
You could learn about
real grits.
I can learn about grits from a TV
being a
show.
Yeah,
mother
kissing
working
your
in a,
grits.
Working
kissing
in a
her
restaurant,
grits.
You could have like we learned a lot of stuff back then.
Yeah,
I learned a lot of things. I learned how to do the rerun dance where I like.
Was it when was Alice? What time frame?
What
era? What years that Alice was on?
Remember when those two black kids got adopted by a rich white guy in New York?
Yes.
That was cool.
Different strokes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what about the other tiny, tiny little guy?
Webster?
Who got taken.
What did I learn?
Who got taken in by a former football player in real life and on the show.
If I'm small.
And then his creepy uncle, Ben Vereen, came back and tried to get him.
I have my Webster, the blind side.
You have your Webster?
My era's Webster's blind side. Blind side. I saw that already. He never said balloon, by the way.
Art says,
John made that up.
Yeah, he made that up.
Art says, y'all racist never heard of Chico and the Man? That's where we learned
I was gonna bring
about
up
the Hispanic culture. That's
Chico
how you learn things.
And the Man.
That's how you learn things.
Best. You also learned about
Sanford and Son. That's how you learn things.
Yeah, Sanford and Son, about Grady. And I'm like, this is what it's like to be in a junkyard.
You big
and
dummy.
Then you could be like, this is also what it's like to be in a junkyard with Sam. With
I wonder if Lamont, were you named after Lamont from Sanford and Son? You big dummy,
Lamont. You big dummy.
All right, 7:45 ESPN 97.5.
Fred, I learned how to fake heart attacks to get out of stuff because I saw Fred Sanford do it. You start acting like you say it's the big one,
right?
And then you start. I learned about interracial relationships from the Jeffersons.
That's right. No, that's
with Tom. Tom and
I actually learned about it from Archie with Archie and George,
and I learned about it from Save the Last Dance.
Oh, you're talking about interracial interpersonal relationships,
guys. Everything repeats itself. Save the Last Dance. That's how I learned about interracial relationships.
See,
all right,
with Julia Stiles, right?
Yes,
right.
Yes.
When we come back, we're gonna have our own NBA All-Star Draft. Because there's some controversy over who LeBron and Kevin Durant took.
My kids were like,
not going crazy.
We got back from dinner. We went to Lucille's. It was great.
When we come back,
they're pissed.
We will do that.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
As LeBron last night asked why.
At least he admitted his bigotry.
The last two guys taken in the NBA draft, starters and reserves, were Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
The Mitchell thing makes no sense. None. To me. Unless he just means he's not friends with guys. That's probably what it means. Like, this has to be a big friendship thing. Now, okay, so tell people how the picks went. Yeah. My kids, so we went to Lucille's for the first time, and we had the chef Chris Williams, who does this incredible. I mean, they've done 190,000 meals.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Charity.
It's incredible what his charity has done, and it's like elevated soul food. He's got smothered steaks, braised oxtails. The food is fantastic. He's classically trained. He's worked in Europe and. And Dawn Burrell also works with him now, former Olympian, and Leroy Burrell's sister. Mm-hmm. She's also an accomplished chef. Well, anyway, went there, had dinner. It was great out on the patio. And then we got home, and my kids were just beside themselves. Mason rushed over. Do you know? Oh, okay. First of all, Kevin Durant's team is going to get smashed in the All-Star game. I'm like, what happened, Mason? He's like, do you know who the first pick was? For Kevin Durant? I said, was it James? No. Worse. It was
James wasn't even in.
He said, it was Kyrie Irving. I said, Kyrie was his first pick? And then I realized, okay, you got the most sensitive player in basketball in Kevin Durant. And I would imagine Kyrie Irving's probably up there in sensitivity as well. That's one where that's a needs to keep the peace on the team. So it's actually a smart selection because now you got James in the locker room, and James on the court. I think Kevin Durant actually made a pick that he had to make to save his season. Because you can't have Kyrie completely, you know, going right. bananas.
Right. So, it went like this. LeBron chose Giannis first. Kevin Durant chose Kyrie Irving first. Then LeBron picked Steph Curry, Durant, Joel Embiid, LeBron, Luka Doncic, and then Bradley Beal, or Kawhi Leonard, excuse me, and then Nikola Jokic for LeBron and Bradley Beal for Durant. And then he took Jason Tatum because Durant's not playing. So he got Jason Tatum as the – those are the starters. So it's going to be Giannis, Curry, Doncic, Jokic, and LeBron for Team LeBron. And it's going to be Irving, Embiid, Leonard, Beal, and Tatum for Durant. Who do you like? I like LeBron's team.
Yeah.
I like LeBron's team a lot. I mean, that's
– obvious.
The starters are – although Kawhi going sixth. Holy crap.
Like I said, this is just popularity contest.
Right, I guess. But, yeah, I mean – hey, listen, Embiid's having an MVP season. Kyrie is playing great. Bradley Beal is playing great. That's a pretty good team, too. And in all-star games, a lot of times with the team that you think is going to destroy the other team, it doesn't happen.
Do you subscribe to the notion that this is that we're in the golden era of basketball now? Because everyone likes to say that, you know, you're going to have your own personal opinions.
Well,
but I have felt for a long time that that basketball has some tremendous talent.
Right it, it's unbelievable.
And it's in but their it's, prime.
Here's the problem with it is, and it's it, it we're at an all time. We're
and they're not playing
we're making superstars
now.
Out of guys that I don't know would have been. In other eras because of how little defense is being played.
Well, like, for example, Bradley Beal, honestly, is no different than Dale Ellis. I mean, their games might be different.
And was Dale Ellis an all-time?
No, I mean, Dale was a great shooter and could score. Yeah. But Bradley Beal would be like Dale Ellis.
I mean, I love Kyrie's great. He's unbelievable scorer. But he would get his ass kicked back in the day. I mean, they would beat the snot out of him. Of course, Isaiah got the snot beat out of him, and he still was
pretty good. Kyrie...
I think he's, I think Kyrie, it's a, I tell you, is that Thomas? Not the, a lot of the same body type?
It's Kyrie. Kyrie and Isaiah is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
pairs.
Yeah. And Isaiah was tough enough to take it, you know. And he got beat up. I mean, maybe
there
I,
is no Giannis comp. There is no LeBron comp really that I know of. That's you know they're just different athletes. They're just different physical specimens. But like a Steph Curry. It's different because
wasn't a Sean Kemp kind of like I mean Giannis? He didn't have the eye
talk. Well, no, yeah. But Sean had some handles and stuff like that, and was a physical. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Like I mean, Sean in today's NBA would probably be more like Giannis.
Yeah.
Sean Kemp was a beast,
and man, could he spread his seed. So the first
maybe he's got a farm and he needs people to work help him work it.
The first
work his land.
So first up was LeBron and he took Dame Lillard and first up for Durant was he took James Harden. Durant had to take James first because he took Kyrie first. So so Dame Lillard, I don't know who wins that battle, quite frankly. That's pretty good. Those are two pretty good picks. Ben Simmons and Devin Booker were next taken. Then it's Chris Paul and Zion Williamson. Then it was...
Wait, who took Chris Paul?
LeBron. Okay, the first one that I mentioned is going to be LeBron.
They're banana boat guys, right?
LeBron and... Yeah, with Dwayne Wade and... Who was the other one?
Isn't he one of the banana boat guys?
Was Chris Paul a banana... I think he was. Yeah.
It was LeBron. Okay.
It was LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul. Who's the other banana
boat? Not Carmelo, was it?
Maybe it was Melo. I forget. Anyway, LeBron took Jaylen Brown, and Durant took Zach LaVine. Pretty good, but both. Paul George goes to LeBron.
Zach
Julius
LaVine
Randle.
Actually could. Zach LaVine fits great
in an
All-Star game.
This is funny, though. Julius Randle. It's Paul George and Julius Randle going ahead of Donovan Mitchell. That's not funny.
Yeah, that's
Domantas Sabonis and... Nikola Vucevic, and then Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell to finish it out. I mean...
Well, you knew Rudy was going to be last.
Right. But, hey, well, ahead of Domantas Sabonis, although Domantas Sabonis is playing his ass off.
Like I said...
He's playing great.
I've never heard of... I don't think anybody likes
Rudy.
Gobert,
no.
A lot of this is
Who likes the French?
It's the friendship thing. But Tori TA makes a pretty good point. He said LeBron's closest comp is most probably Oscar Robertson, and that's probably too from a from a if you bodied down LeBron down to the era that Oscar Robertson played, that's actually probably accurate. Where LeBron, you know, physically through, you know, the mutations of people getting bigger and stronger and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
If you went back five decades, it probably is Oscar
Robertson. I could see that.
Yeah, because he did everything.
Right. Okay, Robertson was a guard, though. I don't know. Yeah, so, you know, I think, and if you built him up.
He was a guard who had triple doubles.
Right.
For a season.
Well, and if you went a little bit bigger, Karl Malone would be a, you know, strong, just.
But he was.
He didn't have his ball skills. He didn't have his ball skills, but he certainly had the bulk and the overpoweringness that LeBron has.
There's going to be a whole generation of basketball players, all-time greats like Tim Duncan and Olajuwon and Karl Malone. And, you know, now Barkley in his prime has kind of got a little bit of LeBron, too. But LeBron's game is totally different. But you're going to have a whole generation of all-time greats, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'm not sure we'll ever see that again in the NBA. And I know that things are cyclical and they come back. But do you guys envision post-play ever coming back?
Yeah, you're getting it with Embiid now. Jokic is outside, but he's going down low a lot. Yes, yes. I mean,
post-play?
As good as, yes.
With how many? You just mentioned two guys.
Yeah. But and look Jokic, at how good they are.
A lot Guess of what Jokic does is three-point, and both a lot of it's high post.
Both of them are MVP candidates this year.
I know, but it's high post. It's not post. It's not down on the low block as much.
Well, they do a lot of work down low. They do. Both of them do a lot of work down low. Joel Embiid does. Holy crap. Joel Embiid is working down low.
That's only a couple guys. I don't know. And he also shoots threes. I don't know that we'll.
Yeah, he
that's
going to
be part of it, though. Big men are going to shoot three. Anthony Davis, Embiid, Jokic. I mean, they all shoot threes.
Yeah, right.
That's just part of the game now.
So anyway, we didn't have a chance to pick our own, but I don't think it would be in this order. I don't think it would be in this order. But
for an all-star game, Dame Lillard is somebody. But
you're right. There's a lot of great players here.
Look at all the guys who are in their prime. Now, these guys aren't 32, 33. Yeah,
except Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul. But look how many guys are in their prime.
Yeah. Oh, man. Zach LaVine?
Devin Booker, these are come-up guys. Donovan Mitchell.
How much of it is because of the style that we these guys are so good is because
well, I think
they
the
have
stats.
A free lane Listen, to the bucket.
Everyone's going to look at the stat. Well, but a lot of it's three-point shooting. We'll talk about it coming up in a second. Because you can't ignore the fact that the over-unders now are 220.
Yeah, right.
And they used to be 180-something.
Yeah. Eight of the 12 greatest offensive seasons are this year.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, and the number one greatest season that you're going to have is Easter for when it comes to barbecuing. And even if you're not an Easter person, but you say, well, I still want to do the briskets from Texas Star Grill Shop. Well, how about the fact that they have a big truckload sale going on with their Heart Brand Wagyu brisket? A Wagyu brisket. Are you kidding me with the marbling that's available there and the flavor and the taste? But you got to cook it on something. So what do you have? Do you have the Pits and Spits? It's the best Houston-made barbecue grill you're going to find. Heavy-duty construction. They got a huge inventory of the Maverick Pellet Grills. The Traeger Timberline 1300 sale where you've got the new D2. You can experience the D2 difference. That second version is just amazing. The Napoleon Grills. They've got Napoleon Grills, Saber with the infrared, and John's got the DSC. You've got so many different grills. The Big Green Egg. I know you've heard about the big ceramic cookers that people love so much where you can control the heat, the air in, you know, the air that comes in, and you can really, it's more of a old school barbecuing mentality and feel. I'm telling you, there's so many different grills, and they're all assembled and delivered absolutely free right now for this awesome spring sale. Save big during Texas Star Grill Shop's big spring sale. For more information and find a location nearest to you, go to TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.